Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Lars Eller up to the blue line. Eller to the opposing blue line, over the line, face-off circle, shot, scores! Lars Eller! And the Canadians win it in overtime, and Carey Price has more wins in a season than any Canadians goaltender ever.
Very proud of it, obviously, and I got to thank my teammates for the way they've played all season long. This isn't possible without those guys in front of me.
I played a lot better games than I've in the past than I've done lately, and I've just not been scoring. I've had tons of shots on net, but and then I've in the last couple of games I maybe have one or two shots in net per game, and I score in one of them. So it's just it's a chance.
As far as I'm concerned, he's the best player in the league right now. He's the player who's got the most impact on games. Even if there's a lot of good players in this league and got some good season, but Carey Price deserved that trophy.
Welcome back. Melnick in the Afternoon Hour, number 3 on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, David Trentadue helping us out. Pierre McGuire standing by. He's in St. Louis, so we know he's going to be working the Blues and Minnesota game tomorrow for NBC. That was Carey Price, Michel Therrien post-game, Lars Eller post-practice today, as the Canadiens get set for the finale against Toronto with Carey Price in goal for that one. Meantime, back to last night briefly.
Well, they can't go in. It's National Hockey League. They can't go in.
Mike Babcock not happy with goalie Jimmy Howard.
Do you have a starter in your eyes right now, a number
one? No, I just, I'm going to go have a beer and I'm going to think about that. How's that?
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by the Old Orchard Pub. 5 locations, with a 6th now open in Chattahoochee, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, Mitch. Before we even have any niceties, let me just explain one thing to you and to the fans. What you saw last night was exactly why the Detroit Red Wings were life and death to make the playoffs.
They should have won that game.
Handily. You know it, I know it, and the fans know it. The problem is that they don't get saves. They might get one, they might get two, but they don't get the routine save. And if you were to talk to any goalie that's played any amount of hockey in the National Hockey League, the routine saves are the ones you have to make. You have to make. And he didn't do it. And that's why you heard the frustration of Mike's voice. But I give the Canadiens a lot of credit. They hung in there really well, especially after the shorthanded goal. They could have said, you know what, enough's enough. We're in a good spot. Let it go. They didn't. They chose to push back. That's why I like the team so much.
So what do they do? What does Babcock do? He's got one
Mrazek.
Game.
Mrazek's got to go. He's got to be the starter in game one. They might have to play, rotating goalies, but I think you got to go with Mrazek. I like Jimmy Howard a lot. I did a huge feature with him at the beginning of the year at USA Hockey. And I can tell you, as nice a guy as he is, he's an even nicer guy when you spend a lot of time with him. I'm telling you, he's a real, real nice person. He just hadn't had a good year, and he hadn't made their saves that they needed him to make. This team should have been home and cooled out a long time ago. And you guys who watched the game, and I know you watch it with a fine eye, Mitch, you know Pavel Datsyuk's not 100%, and you know that Henrik Zetterberg's not 100%.
Yeah,
you know they aren't.
Clearly, and that's why there was a lot of concern when Greg Pattern got him. It was very tight to being kind of a knee-on-knee. But they know that Greg Pattern is not, he doesn't have the reputation as any kind of headhunter. He's not going after him. It was just a timing situation. And you could see Datsyuk skating around, shaking his head. It's like, how many more times am I going to get dinged up here?
Yep. Well, that's what I'm saying. And that's why, if you're a fan of the Red Wings, you know why they're in the situation that they're in and why their season's been as hard as it is or as difficult as it has been, because they can't get saves. I mean, they play brilliant hockey games, and they have some amazing guys that can do some fantastic things, like Nyquist, like Tatar, like Datsyuk, like Zetterberg. They have some phenomenal performers, but they can't get a save.
So, Pierre, he referenced the goaltending and the scrum last night 3 separate times. And the first time it was in response to a question I asked him, which was it had nothing to do with the goaltender. He went out of his way to bring it up, responding to a question where I wasn't even talking about the goaltender. And Mike Babcock is smart. He's a great communicator. And I would even venture to say he's calculated. I just want to know why you think he would throw Jimmy Howard under the bus after this game.
I don't know about throwing him under the bus, but I love what you just said, Mitch Gallo, because I think everything you said is spot on. But in terms of throwing him under the bus, I don't think he was doing that. I think Jimmy knows what the expectations been on him ever since he signed his big deal in Detroit. You're going to sign for big money, you got big responsibility. And Jimmy knows he's got to measure up to that. So I don't think he threw him under the bus. I do think, though, that Mike is sending a subtle message to his team saying, you know what, fellas, you guys were good enough. Our goalie hasn't been good enough. And that's why I think he did it. If you were to ask me, get his players ready for the playoffs by making them feel good about themselves, knowing, hey, you know what, if we get any kind of goaltending at all, we got a chance to win because we're a good enough team.
So it was quite the ending with the game-winning goal and the Canadiens mobbing Carey Price for setting the franchise record at center ice, then getting the shaving cream pie from Alexei Yemelin, of all people. And a lot of us thought, okay, that's it. He set the record, finished up on home ice. Rest him against Toronto. That's not the case.
This is going to be his third game, I believe, in 9 days. So it's not demanding as much as back-to-back. So we're going to have 4 days between the last game and when we're going to start the playoff. We take everything in consideration.
So that last part first, we're going to have 4 days off between the game on Saturday and the start of the playoffs. The game is Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Do the Canadiens start on Thursday? Are you aware of a schedule that might be out yet?
No.
Or am I reading too much into this?
I can tell you right now there's three or four different matrix out there, and a lot depends on what happens tonight, and a lot depends on what happens tomorrow. So it's far from being complete for everybody. I can tell you that right now because I think I told you this yesterday. I've been asked to do something for the league, and it's on Thursday morning, and I still can't commit to it because I don't know if I can be in New York City or not. Just based on my schedule, where I have a game to do every day in a different series. So it'll be interesting to see. I should have my schedule by Sunday. I was told I'll have it by Sunday at midday. So everybody should know by Sunday at midday.
There's a purpose about playing tomorrow in Toronto. So that's the decision.
So clearly they want that home ice should they meet Tampa Bay.
Oh, I think so. Listen, you know how hard it is to play in Tampa, and you know how important the fans are in Montreal. And you know what Tampa did to Montreal this year. So, home ice would definitely matter, I think, in that series. I think that's one series where it would matter.
But, yeah, there's no question. But I think the Canadiens are capable of beating the Leafs in Toronto with Dustin Tokarski. But
they are.
Clearly,
that's a fair point.
Yeah, that clearly Carey Price wants to keep going here with Pierre Maguire every afternoon at 5:05. We'll go around the league in just a second, Rod.
Look, I know he's your horse and your heart and soul, but I'm guessing that Carey pushed hard to play, and that's fine, but I really see this as a situation where you've got to protect the player from himself. It's an unnecessary risk.
You know what? If you watched the Ranger game last night with Ottawa in the first period when Mika Zibanejad went into the goaltender and got a goalie interference penalty on Henrik Lundqvist, and you saw Lundqvist laboring, and you see Jim Ramsey, the great trainer of the Rangers, run onto the ice, everybody's going, oh my gosh, what happened here? So I'm with you, Rod, but I don't know the discussion that took place between Stefan Waite, Carey Price, and Michel Therrien. I think that's the key. Stefan Waite is a brilliant goalie coach. He's won the Stanley Cup with Antti Niemi. He's won the Stanley Cup with Corey Crawford. He's gotten Carey Price to a total other level. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it in hockey. Since Stefan Waite's been with Carey Price, Carey's gone to another level. So I think that Stefan Waite has had a lot to say about this. And I think if I were anybody, I'd want to listen to him because I think that man really knows what he's talking about when it comes to goalies.
This whole getting injured mentality, players thinking about the potential of getting injured, is there any way for Coach Therrien to get that out of their mindset in the game?
Well, it's mostly media and fan driven. I don't know if the players think about it.
But when everyone
players
talks about it, the players
don't
might.
Talk about that stuff. They don't talk about that stuff, Mitch Gallo. When you're in a room, you don't talk about that stuff. Nobody ever wants to put the hex on anybody either. So yeah, I never hear that. Oh, you know, make sure you don't get hurt out there. I've never heard that once in 26 years now in the NHL. I never heard that once.
Yeah, it was just too many ups and downs, and you know, 2-3 game losing streaks turned to a 4-5, and you know, it's tough to be chasing, you know, this time of the year. So, you know, we came out short, and it stinks right now.
Anze Kopitar in Calgary last night. Who had the Kings and maybe the Bruins out of the playoffs this season? That's remarkable. You've referenced the amount of hockey that they've played lately. Did it, you know, even as late as with a minute to go, I thought they were going to tie it up and do something miraculous because that's what we've become accustomed to, and yeah, they just had nothing left.
I didn't. After their start, when they went down 2-0, after the first goal that got reviewed for so long, and it seemed the way Monahan, Goudreau, and Hudler were dominating the game, I was really concerned. And then the second goal, when Hudler blasted that one by Jonathan Quick, I was like, Quick's not on it. The defense isn't on it. The gap control is brutal. They're in big trouble. And then they found a way to reel it in the second period, but they had nothing to push in the third. I didn't think they pushed nearly. I know they got a goal, but I didn't see nearly the same kind of push. I really, once that started, I think I talked to you about it yesterday. I said if L.A. falls behind early in this game, they're in trouble. And I know their team really well. I've watched almost every game and broadcasted quite a few of their games this year. They had nothing left. They gave it all the year before. To win three game sevens like they did the year before, that's an amazing testament to their courage. And if you think about it, this is a team that really has the heart of a champion. It's tough to see them go down this way, but too much hockey in too short a time for that team. Way too much.
So who goes in the offseason in Los Angeles? I don't think anybody expects drastic changes here, but there's some people that there is some turnover coming.
Oh, well, I don't know what they're going to do with Mike Richards. That's going to be interesting to see with him. I mean, he looked really out of place last night, and I really like him a lot, but you can see Father Time has definitely kicked in. He's got a lot of hard miles on him. He's been rooting hard and put away wet. You look at what are they going to do with Dustin Brown? He's their captain, but Dustin did not have a good year this year. Nobody can hide that. What are they going to do with Robin Regier? What are they going to do with Matt Green? These are older guys that have serious miles on the odometer. This is what concerns you. Willie Mitchell's loss was huge to that team. Losing Tanner Pearson to injury was gigantic to that team. I don't know what they're in. Obviously, the Voinov situation is unbelievable and very sad and tragic for all parties involved. So I don't know, but I do know one thing, that their brain trust is extremely good, and they'll figure a way out. They'll figure a way out.
Well, that's the brain trust in Boston scratching their heads if they haven't even before today. They canceled the practice. The only person who spoke to the media was GM Peter Chiarelli. He didn't say anything drastic other than wondering where that will is at this stage of the season, that killer instinct. Certainly not there.
They hit the wall last night. I was watching the game at the Iron Horse in Washington, and you know what's interesting, Mitch? I said to the person sitting next to me who's a hockey executive, I said, if the Bruins are going to win, and I didn't mean we meaning I and him, I mean we meaning people in general, if the Bruins are going to win, they're going to need some Bergeron magic. He drew the penalty from Willie Mitchell, and then he scored on the power play right after that. And the guy looked at me and goes, that's great, that's awesome. And then sure enough, right after that, Barkov responds with a goal. And then you have the beautiful Huberto goal off the mask and in, and you're just like, Bruins are done. They're done. They had a little push after Marchand scored, but nothing there. There's nothing there. And I think part of that is because of the late night they had the night before against Washington. But for the Bruins, it never should have gone to this point in the season. They should have been home and cooled out a long time ago, a lot like Detroit.
Huberto steps out of the corner, back, and he scores! Jonathan Huberto! He handcuffs Tuukka Rask and puts it over top of him, short side.
And there's the bigger issue. I mean, there's some injuries and there's some age, but Tuukka Rask has not played well down the stretch. Rod?
Pierre, a lot of teams are scuffling at the worst time here. Besides Boston, you've got the Islanders, 3 wins in 12. Pittsburgh, 3 wins in their last 13. Detroit has got 6 wins in 6 weeks. The Canadians are 8 wins in their last 18. The day off for the teams that make the playoffs, the 3 or 4 days off there, Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, is that enough to hit that reset button and clear out some of these habits and some of this sluggishness? Is it like a new training camp, or will it carry over some of this sluggishness?
No, it should be an opportunity for everybody to heal up and be ready to go. And this is where your pro scouting staff, your video coach, and your coaching staff are so valuable and so important. Everything from travel planning to practice habits to pre-tournament or pre-series adjustments and game planning. This is paper pushing time. This is where the coaches and the scouts and the trainers earn their keep, And this is where the players get to heal up and they need to pay attention. And so you can heal a lot of things in a short period of time if everybody's on the right frame of mind and everybody's on the right track in terms of paying attention.
Very proud of them. I told them that we believed in training camp. We really believe because the fact that the way that we finished last year, you know, like it gave us hope, it gave us belief, and you know, we just had to re-crank that machine right at training camp.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure for me to work, you know, behind the bench. The leadership in that room is absolutely spectacular. You know, I mean, all of them at different times played with injury, but yeah, it's been a really enjoyable year to go to the rink every day because they were just going to work as hard as they could.
Two great stories out west. Paul Maurice of the Jets, Bob Hartley of the Flames.
Yeah, the leadership in Winnipeg is phenomenal. It starts with Andrew Ladd, goes to Mark Stewart. We've talked about that, and you see the development of the young kids. I mean, you know, Jacob Trouba, you see the development of him and what he means to that team. You see Mark Scheifele and what he means to that team. You see Tyler Myers come in there and play like Tyler Myers of three or four years ago, I should say. Just amazing. But again, I think the leadership on that team is awesome, and they deserve a lot of credit. They really do. In terms of Calgary, Bob did a fantastic job. I think Bob's one of the leading candidates for Coach of the Year. He really merits it. He's changed a lot as a human being. He's changed a lot as a coach, and all for the good. And you can see his players really appreciate him. That top line in Calgary is pretty special. When you watch them play, Goodrow, Hudler, and Monahan, that's a special, special line. And that's a line that's going to be intact for a long period of time. That's something to watch. And I think the biggest thing is how they overcame the loss of Mark Giordano. They never whined. They never complained. They just put their work boots on and kept bringing it every single day. They're a special group. There's no question.
You mentioned that line. Rod asked the question earlier in the show, during the Friday scrum, actually.
I cannot think of a more productive line in the NHL in this calendar year than Calgary's top line.
Well, you know, we've been talking about for a while. Monahan, before he even got drafted, I thought he was a steal where the Flames got him. I watched him play a ton with the Ottawa 67s, thought he was a great, great player there. Reminded me so much of Bobby Smith when Bobby Smith was coming up. And then you obviously Hudler, who was such an undervalued asset. I mean, Detroit never wanted to lose him. They just couldn't because of salary cap issues. And Goodrow's come out of nowhere because now with the red line out, a player of that size can play. If the red line was still in, he wouldn't be able to play in the league, not anywhere near what he's doing now. He's a special kid. Johnny Goodrow, if you've never met him, you should, because he's one of those kids that everybody told him his whole life he'd never be able to be a player. And he's like, really? I'll show you. And he was. And he never, ever acted like a brat or a pompous ass. He was a really good person.
It's really special. I know all the guys are really, really excited. You know, just the excitement in the locker room after the game and the excitement on the ice with all the fans, you know, it was pretty special.
There's Johnny Goodrow after the game last night. So now you mentioned salary cap. The Penguins have a lingering salary cap issue. They can't find another defenseman. They can't dress another defenseman for the game tonight.
Stuff happens, Mitch.
Was that a leading question? So look, they finish up against Buffalo, but you just don't know. So how do you see these games this weekend with some meaning? The one tonight, Penguins and the Islanders, Penguins and Buffalo to finish up, Boston and Tampa Bay tomorrow, and what's the other one? I'm leaving one out. Ottawa, of course. Ottawa. Yeah. How do you see
Ottawa,
this happening?
Philly.
Yep.
Well, the Ottawa-Philly one will be interesting because Philly played terribly against Carolina last night. And then you had the situation with Vinny McCavity where Keegan Lowe fought him twice. His first NHL game, that's Kevin Lowe's son. And so, you know, a top player, a real top player in the league for a long period of time, you know, got tuned up by a kid just coming in and playing his first game. The Flyer player should be ashamed. So I have to think that something's going to happen there. They're going to be awake, and they're playing at 12:30. Ottawa's not used to playing at 12:30, so that's going to be a big test for the Ottawa Senators tomorrow. It really is. But I was so impressed by them last night. Man, oh, man, the first period, they were overwhelmed. And the big turning point in that game was Kevin Hayes missed pretty much an open net. The goalie, Andrew Hammond, made an unorthodox save, and then Clark MacArthur scores at the other end of the ice to make it 1-0, and then they just thrived. But they stared adversity in the face, Ottawa, and they overcame it big time last night. Thought to do the same thing tomorrow. Boston, Tampa, you called it a long time ago. I don't know how much Boston has left in the tank. If they have anything left in the tank and Tampa doesn't want to play tomorrow, then potentially Boston wins. But they need help. Everybody knows it. They need help. If the Islanders help them tonight and Buffalo helps them tomorrow, then Boston helps themselves, then maybe they're good. But that's a lot of help to ask for, I can tell you that.
All right. We'll know for sure when we speak again on Monday, but your initial feelings about a possible Montreal-Ottawa opening round playoff series?
It would be fun. It'd be fun. That'd be awesome. It really would be. I think it'd be great. The last one I don't think went the way everybody in Montreal wanted it to go. I think this is a different team. I think the X factor, obviously, is Pacioretty. Everybody knows that. But Montreal's a good team, and Montreal's been a good team most of the year, and they have arguably, if not the best player, one of the top players in the league in Carey. Everybody knows that, but I personally think he's the MVP of the season.
These points are still important for us. You know, you want to go into the playoffs playing on the right way. You know, like I said, we got to be a pro about it.
All right. So the Canadiens finish up against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I can't believe you talked about the top line of the NHL without mentioning Bozak, Kessel, and Van Riemsdyk. I'm shocked.
Well, they need Colton Ora on the line. That's the problem.
Pierre, hey, it's their playoffs tomorrow. That's what Peter Horacek said today. It's the Leafs playoffs tomorrow. Really?
Okay.
All right. Have a great weekend, Pierre. Happy travels, and we'll do it again on Monday.
I look forward to that. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy your families. Mitch, Rod, Mitch, Gallo, thanks for a great week. Really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.